Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Text 7. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yadi dasyasi me kaman varangs twang varadarshabha kamanang hridyasang rohang bhavatas tu virnevaram. Translation. This is Prahlad Maharaj speaking to Nrisimhadev. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Purport. Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord. He said, Na dhanam na janam na sundarin kavitang va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktira haituki twai. O my Lord, I do not want from you any amount of wealth, nor... What happened? How did I get it back? Nor followers, nor money. I only desire for these are all materialistic desires. But if I have to ask you for any benediction, I pray that in whatever of form of life I may take my birth, under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Unquote. Devotees are always on the positive platform in contrast to the Mayavadis who want to make everything impersonal or void. One cannot remain void, Shunyavadi. Rather, one must possess something. Therefore, the devotee on the positive side wants to possess something. And this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, if I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart there may be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. Whoop, and that's the end of that. I want to see the next verse also. So someone who knows how to work this can you find it with the next verse also? So this is a birthday party, is it? I was told it's a birthday party. We hear of Krishna, his birthday party. Of course, not called a birthday party, but the function was arranged by Nanda Maharaj, where the brahmanas are called to give benedictions to Krishna, who is being addressed here by Prahlad Maharaj. Krishna has appeared as Nrisimhadev. He's being addressed as Varadarshabha, the bester of givers of benedictions. Krishna gives benedictions, but Nanda Maharaj, in his pure love for Krishna, considered that Krishna needed the brahmanas to give him benedictions. And Krishna also thinks like that. So it becomes a little complex. Who's giving the benediction? Krishna, he's asking for benedictions from the brahmanas. And the brahmanas, they're asking for benedictions from him. Actually, Krishna is properly addressed as Varadarshabha, the best of givers of benedictions. We have... sound is okay? You can hear it sitting at the front, but it seems that we lost it. Yeah? Okay. So, the ceremony is performed, the birthday ceremony, not in the same way as a birthday party is conceived of in the Western world, where it's thought that the child is indulged by offering extra sense gratification, and a lot of attention is given to the child on that day. But the Vedic concept is that we should invoke blessings upon the child on this day, and he should learn to give charity to the brahmanas and to respect the brahmanas. So, by the logic of where there is no forest, a castor plant is taken as a tree. I'm supposed to be a brahmana here and giving benedictions. So what benediction should we invoke upon the child? Often people, pious Hindus, come to me and ask for blessings for their children. Then I ask, what blessings do you want? And usually they say, usually they're a bit bewildered, and then they think about it and they say, well, for passing exams. And I say, well, I can't give that because I wasn't good in studies at school myself. So you're asking the wrong person. Or they think a little bit and then they say, well, so can be a pure devotee. So what are the preconditions for being a pure devotee? Now I lost the previous verse. Anyway, that Prahlad Maharaj says that there may be no material desires in the core of my heart. So sometimes we have this idea that we'll be pure devotees and have a little sense gratification on the side, but not much, just a little. In the next verse, Prahlad Maharaj describes the effect of the material desires that he wishes to be free from. He's praying to Nrisimhadev to be free from. Praying to Nrisimhadev as the best of givers of benedictions. So there are different people we can go to for benedictions. We can ask different demigods, give me this, give me that. But the best of the givers of benedictions will give the best benediction. Is there such a word in English? There is in Prabhupada's books, benediction. He will give the best vara. Vara means, yeah, benediction, boon. He will give the best thing. So if we ask for the best thing, what should that be? Just like Sanatana Goswami. Yogi highly materialistic person approached Lord Shiva and invoked the presence of Lord Shiva and asked from Lord Shiva that I want the most valuable thing in the world. So Lord Shiva said, well, I don't have it. Go see Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. He has it. So the yogi, bogi, posing as a yogi, he was performing severe austerities, but he wanted material enjoyment. That was his ultimate aim. So he came to Vrindavan and saw Sanatana Goswami and asked him that. Well, he was surprised to see him, just a mendicant in Tyaktva Turna Matsesha Mandala Pati Shraining Sada Tuchavat Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Karunaya Kopina Kantashrita. He was surprised to see this person. Of course, he didn't know that Sanatana Goswami had previously been extremely wealthy as the what we would now call the prime minister or in the court of the emperor of Bengal or the king of Bengal. So he'd given all that up, and Sanatana Goswami had simply a loincloth and a patchwork quilt. That was all his possessions. Of course, he had Krishna Bhakti. That's the point that we're coming to. So the bogi disguised as a yogi, materialist described, posing as a yogi, he asked Sanatana Goswami, do you have the most valuable thing? Sanatana Goswami said, yes. Can you give it to me? Yes. So what is it? Where is it? Well, over in the garbage there's a touchstone. If you touch it to anything, it turns to gold. And I presume this touchstone was operated by mantra. Otherwise, you have the Midas problem. If you touch it yourself, then you turn to gold. Anyway, that's a detail. So the man happily went and found the touchstone. And then he thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is the most valuable thing, and Sanatana Goswami himself is living what appears to be a very poverty-stricken life, dressed in a niggardly cloth. Then he must have something more valuable. Why has he thrown this away? So then he went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, is this really the most valuable thing? He thought a little bit. Why should he throw it out? Sanatana Goswami said, well, I do have something more valuable. Can you give it to me? Yes. But there's one condition. First, you have to throw this back in the garbage and never desire it again. So the yogi of sorts thought, yeah, okay, all right. If there's something more valuable, let me get it. So he threw it out, and Sanatana Goswami said, yes, you come chant with me. Chant Hare Krishna. That's the most valuable thing. We have also the case of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, most renounced. Vairagya Murti, Namo Gaur Kishoraya, Sakshat Vairagya Murti. He's directly the very personification of renunciation. So one very rich man came to see him and was begging him, the Maharaj of Koshim Bazar, so a very rich man, and he was imploring, please come with me, come to my residence, you please come and be with me and bless me. Gaur Kishore, who would live where? On the bank of the Ganga, underneath the awning of a boat. That means the country boat's made of wood. They have a detachable wooden shade, and he would live under that. Means he would be put there one night, another night wouldn't be there. He would beg rice, soak it in the Ganga water a little bit, and offer it to Krishna and take it, eating from a skull. And so this is renunciation. It's not meant for you or me, but he was doing that. So he said to the Maharaj of Koshim Bazar, well, if I go to your residence, I may be desirous to occupy it myself. You may have a big problem that I may try to take it over. So Maharaj said, no, we just want your association. You're a great Vaishnava. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, oh, you want my association? Okay, I have a good idea. You just stay here. You don't go back to your residence. You stay here with me and live with me. And the Maharaj squeezed out of that. He didn't want to do that. So Sanatana Goswami was living what appeared to be a very poverty-stricken life. And the yogi, he thought that he has something more valuable. I'll do what he says and I'll get it. So he had to throw away the prospect of material wealth and enjoyment so that he could get the Hare Krishna mantra. Why we have to, if we want the best boon, we have to give up everything else that we might think of as being valuable in this world is described further by Prahlad Maharaj in the next verse. Indriyani manah prana atma dharmo dhritir matihi hri shri teja smriti satyam yasya nashyanti janmana. So he prays to Nrsimha. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginnings of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. The material desires are so dangerous. Everything that is truly desirable is destroyed by material desires. There cannot actually be bhakti, which is the real wealth, or that which is actually desirable, that for every living being, as long as we have material desires. Everything is, if we have material desires, then we can't properly here. That means desires for enjoyment through the senses. Then we cannot develop spiritual consciousness. We cannot properly practice dharma. We cannot have firm determination. We cannot have clear intelligence. We cannot have the quality of shyness or meekness. We cannot have opulence. It means we may have, but that will be chanchala. That will be that will not stay. We cannot have vigor and strength. We cannot have proper memory. We cannot have truth. All these are destroyed by material desires. So the best benediction, if anyone wants a benediction, we may ask, well, bless my child to be a pure devotee. Some devotee parents, they generally ask like that. But then you have to train them to be free from material desires, which means you also have to set the example. That is the duty of parents. Guru na sasyat, swajana na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. Daiving na sasyan, napatischa sasyan, namochya dhyas samupeta mrityam. Srila Prabhupada often quoted this verse, don't be a parent unless you can liberate your children from birth and death. Parent, guru, father, mother, husband, don't accept respect from anyone. Don't have any relationship with anyone. Don't accept responsibility for anyone unless you can liberate them from, unless guide them on the path by which we can get free from birth and death. So, such a serious responsibility. In the modern age in America, it's accepted that if the parents have any duty, if that word is that word still current? Duty? Yeah, they have duty to your country. Yeah. Some idea of duty. Not much. In social life, it's not there. But the conception of duty, what is the duty of a parent? To provide sense gratification for the children. Just the opposite, that killing them, killing their opportunity, even what to speak of higher consciousness, Krishna consciousness, getting free from birth and death. They cannot even be proper human beings. If children are trained in, it's training also to not give them training is also a kind of training. It's a kind of inculturation that we're just supposed to, that life is just meant for wanton sense enjoyment. That's also a kind of training. By not training, that's also a kind of training. Because the children naturally take the example from their parents. They naturally tend to follow that. Or they may rebel at some point. But the training they get is, in the early life, is very influential. So either they get, or directly or indirectly, they see from the example of their parents that we are meant for enjoying. Life is meant. America, I read this a few years ago, America is the greatest civilization in the world because it offers everyone the greatest opportunity to pursue personal happiness. That was the conclusion. Whereas we say that the traditional culture of India is the best because it trains people not to pursue personal happiness and trains them to find out what is actually the greatest goal of life. It's just presumed that sense enjoyment is the goal of life. it's presumed, and America's advanced because we made so many facilities for sense enjoyment. But Shastra teaches us, ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanam etat pashubhya naranam, that humans and animals both pursue sense enjoyment by eating, sleeping, fighting, sexual intercourse, and not just sexual intercourse. I mean, it's not just the act, but all these fancy cars. Why do you need such a fancy looking car? Why do you need a $20,000 car when you only drive to work? You could get by on a... Why? It's all to impress. And even this whole thing of prestige, I have to live in a prestigious area, I have to send my kids to the best school, it's all derived from this sexual desire, show myself better than others. So the animals, they're also interested, they don't have any platform beyond sensual desire. Then what's the difference, what makes a human? Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesham. The special prerogative of human life is the ability to follow dharma. And actually beyond that also, atato brahma jignasa. To inquire, why are we in this mess anyway? Why are we suffering birth, death, old age and disease? What is the actual principle of existence? This inquiry is possible to make in human life. So, dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. A human being devoid of this is not a human being, is a dvipadda pashu, two-legged animal. Simple arithmetic. A plus B equals C, C minus B equals A. So, animal plus dharma equals human. And human minus dharma equals, any PhDs here can work that out. You can all understand. So, if you do not want your children to be an animal, if you do not want to take the response, the sinful reaction for bringing animals into this world when you're supposed to bring humans into this world, then you have to train them to be free from material desires, which is a prerequisite. Of course, that's not all in all, but that is a prerequisite for attaining the highest goal, which is to be resituated in one's natural constitutional position of service to Krishna. So, if you want to give a birthday present, then give a set of Srila Prabhupada's books. And if you really care for your children, which I hope you do, then read the books with them. Give them this education. Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Nrisimhadev, you are the best of givers of benedictions. So Srila Prabhupada was the best well-wisher of human society because he gave this knowledge. The most important person in the history of America is Srila Prabhupada. Now they have George Washington and George... From George Washington to George Bush, and now President Obama, and there'll be someone else and someone else. And who are all the important? Great Americans. Thomas Edison. I'm not up on American history. Who's that? This Henry Ford. Great authors. Who wrote that? Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer.
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain, yeah, that was another book written by him. Mark Twain, which wasn't his real name.
Samuel Clemens.
Samuel Clemens. He was quite an outspoken guy. He didn't like Christianity. He thought it was a complete fraud. He was right. Anyway, there are so many. Magic Johnson, Babe Ruth, great Americans, right? Who else? Marilyn Monroe. And on, all useless people. Some of them may have been well-intentioned. Thomas Jefferson, the original hippie. All useless, because they purport to offer something to human society, but they don't know what to offer. Even you may say religious, but religion, here it's stated, America was founded, well, the original idea of this modern America was founded on freedom of religion. Of course, the native Indians, as they called them, they weren't free to pursue their original religion. They were free to get shot in the head. But even if one is superficially religious, according to Prahlad Maharaj's statement here, which we accept as a fact, it is a fact, that if one is cultivating material desires, then that religion it's spoiled. The actual essence is lost. Because religion means, ultimately religion, dharma. Dharma means one's constitutional position. That means to be situated in service to Krishna, which means that to be free from material desires. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premanam. If you all like to learn verses, learn this one. This is practically the most important that we could learn, the essence. That the desire to satisfy one's own senses is called lust, material desire. And the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is pure love, prema. We hear talk of prema. And so we hear so many stories of the gopis and prema, prema, prema. What is prema? First we should understand. Everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. So as long as there are material desires, Prahlad says, then the so-called dharma, that's also spoiled. Any idea of dharma or religion, we may say, why am I saying Christianity is useless? That's a highly controversial statement. Well, we may say there are different perspectives. In one perspective, there's something good about it. But from the ultimate perspective, there's recognition that there's God. But because there's no clear knowledge of who God is, what is our relationship with Him, then we take Him to be an order supplier. I need this, I need that. God's business is to bless me so that I can live a happy life. And ultimately someone didn't like that. Ultimately, we all go to heaven and we can enjoy looking down at all those non-Christians who are all burning in hell. That's what Thomas Aquinas said, one of his. What do you do in heaven? You look down, you sit there with God and chuckle and throw some more coal in the fire for them to burn. Horrible idea. How they've misrepresented God. So it's useless in as much as we cannot, by this perverted understanding of who God is, we cannot attain pure love of Krishna, because the idea is there, I should enjoy, and God will help me in that. But Prahlad says that such desires, they spoil our religion, our intelligence, and everything else. Destroys truth. Truth becomes spoiled by sensual desire. This statement we should try and understand very deeply. What is truth? during the communist regime in Russia, the one newspaper was Pravda, which means truth. Truth means, what is called truth, what is passed as truth, is whatever those who are leading society want you to believe. So you learn in school science. What is science? Science is what people want you to believe. That this is the nature of the universe. They don't know, actually. They cannot know, because the whole system of science is based on the faulty understanding that we can understand by sensual perception. So you can say, well, they do understand because they made this microphone. They couldn't make it if they didn't have understanding. So yes, they have some understanding, but because they start with the premise that we are meant for enjoyment of this body, then their understanding of reality is clouded, so that even though empirically they may find out different laws of the universe and on the basis of that create technological objects, but the nature of reality, they cannot understand, and they become actually inimical to understanding that, because they think, well, we made this, so that proves that we are in charge. It's just absolutely insane idea that by science we will control nature. By science we shall make man immortal. All these insane ideas, I mean, actually very stupid ideas, but they think because they can manipulate the material elements to an insignificant degree, and they think, now we are good. This is proof. Man is becoming God. So, in all spheres, truth is a victim of lust. Just like America is the most advanced civilization. And you can see, because it's given so much facility for sense enjoyment. See, it's palpable. You don't have such facilities anywhere else. So that proves America's the best. But this is just avoiding or blind to the fact. Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. What we should see all the time, we don't see at all. That the miseries of birth, death, old, this is reality. Birth, death, old age and disease is as rife in America as it is in Laos or Cambodia or any other country which you think is not very advanced. It's the same. The death rate is the same here in America as everywhere else in the world. And there's nothing you can do about it. So what is your... And what is your knowledge of the actual nature of reality? No one's even asking. Or maybe some people start in some college giving some philosophy course. But it's just a course. They're not actually serious to understand. What is the nature of reality? If one is pursuing sense gratification, he cannot think, what is the purpose of life? Why am I suffering in this world? How can we get free from that suffering? If I want to be happy, why am I forced to die? Such questions you cannot even ask. That's why asking for benedictions, Prahlad says, first of all, please free me from these lusty desires, which just spoil everything, our whole outlook. We can't even come to Krishna consciousness. You say, well, there are so many devotees in Krishna consciousness, and there are also... They have their sense enjoyment also, but you cannot actually be in Krishna consciousness. And our understanding of Krishna consciousness becomes clouded, because as long as we're cultivating desires for material enjoyment, then we cannot understand Krishna. We cannot give ourselves to Krishna. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness, to give ourselves fully to Krishna. But if we have other desires, then that will pollute our whole intelligence. So becoming Krishna conscious, it's not such an easy thing. And as I was saying this morning also, it's not that, well, the rules are different for grihasthas. It's the same for a Krishna consciousness means the pure state of the soul. So it's not that if one's a grihastha, you can be pure with material desires. It's just it's not a fact. So grihastha ashram is meant for purification of one's existence. So, positive side, chant Hare Krishna. And study Srimad Bhagavatam. And you'll find this is all Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is telling us, Prahlad is telling us, Srila Prabhupada is telling us all these things, how destructive material desires are. So, all right, that's accepted. Due to bad habit from time immemorial, we have material desires and they're difficult to give up. But one has to recognize the problem. Otherwise, if we just say, well, it's just forget it, doesn't matter. But it does matter. Just by pretending it doesn't matter doesn't mean it doesn't matter. If we have cancer and we say, well, okay, well, never mind. But you should mind. So we have the disease of material desire. We should address that and try to how to overcome? Well, we have to live a regulated life. We are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending have to be regulated. Eating means we have to take the vow to only take Krishna prasad. Eating, sleeping, that should be regulated, not more than is required. Mating, only within family life, only within married life, for the sake of procreation of children. No contraceptives. No abortions. And defending. Well, for a devotee, there's no... Well, something may be there. You have a house, put a lock on it. That I was saying was yesterday. I said, if we have to put a lock on the door, that means it's not civilization. Civilization should mean you don't need a lock on your door. Let what to speak of alarms, then guns. Then it's not civilization. People are not civilized. If you need to put a lock on you, if you can't trust people, and thieves are right there in the civilization. If there are thieves in a civilization, if there are thieves, they should be taken out, punished, and not. But they're wandering all around. That means it's not the police or whatever. They're totally incompetent to protect the citizens. So, yeah, the best benediction. If we should pray. All right, pray for Krishna praying, but we should understand that a precondition for that is to be free from material desires. And the parents have to set the example. They may say, okay, give a benediction for Krishna praying. But even if you give that benediction, it's not going to become activated if you're training the children in sensual indulgence. You have to do your work as parents. You have to set an example of being a pure devotee. Then the children can be. Otherwise, they're not. Just by saying, okay, Krishna praying. But it doesn't work like that. There's a whole process. Ado, Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangha. Then there's Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. There's a whole process. So, generally, these birthday parties are somewhat frivolous. Not somewhat frivolous, totally frivolous. But we should think that Naturally, children like to play, but Prahlad, he says, Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavata iha durlabhang manusham janma tadapya dhruva martadam. That from the very beginning of life, one should engage in Bhagavad Dharma, the process by which one can develop love of, or be situated in love of Krishna, be free from material desires, because human life is short. It's very valuable because we can cultivate Krishna consciousness, but it's very short and it's adhruvam. We don't know. Here today, dead tomorrow. Or maybe dead today also. There's no guarantee. So better use the time that we have for serious cultivation of Krishna consciousness. That is that benediction you can give to your children. So give them the Bhagavatam, do kirtan with them, and train them that human life is meant for having no more birthdays. Don't have any more birthdays. This is the, we should tell the children that now it's your birthday, and best thing is you don't have any more birthdays. Don't get born again. Hare Krishna. Any question, please?
Maharaj, when it comes to children, children like people are of different types.
Children like people. Like they are people. Adults. They're little people. Yeah. They're of different types, yeah. They're basically three categories. You know what they are? Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic. Although children, there are the three categories of humans, three broad categories. Children, they are generally Tamasic at the beginning because Janmana Jayate Shudra. At birth, a child, they have the nature of a Shudra, which means they have no discrimination. Shochati iti Shudra. They just lament. They desire and lament. But Sangskara, Sangskarat bhavet dvija, by sanskara, by reformatory processes, they are known as twice born. Then Veda patet bhavet vipra, then they have to study Shastra. And when they're learned in Shastra, they're known as vipra, a learned person. And Brahmajanititi Brahmana, when they actually know what is the absolute truth, who is Krishna, then they are Brahmanas. They're in Sattvagun. Yeah. So you're saying children are of different types. But basically they're all in the mode of ignorance at birth. They have to be trained to come to a better level. Yeah.
It's not going to get them where we want them to go.
Hmm.
How far does patience versus, is it good to show them the way and allow
practice
them?
How to train the children? Practice and precept, both. You set the example and you have to tell them and you should do this. Discipline is required.
We do enforce.
Discipline is required. In modern life, it's considered a crime to discipline the children, literally. But that's why this country is insane. 70% of the people in America seek psychiatric treatment in their life. That means this country of crazy people. So many people are on prescription drugs and non-prescription drugs also. And the very fact that the whole society is simply chasing sense gratification, that's crazy. Nunang pramatah kuruta vikarma yad indriya pritiya aprinoti na sadhu manya yata atmano yang asanna fi klesha da asadeha. Rishabhdev says, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says that persons who are simply interested in sense enjoyment, they are insane. Because they perform activities which cause them to take more material bodies, which is the cause of suffering. So, yeah, discipline is required. Unfortunately, the whole society is insane, so it's difficult to discipline because it's considered wrong. And the whole society is so much oriented to sense gratification that it's very difficult. Then you have to make an atmosphere just for that. It's possible. We see in this country there are people who train their children in a rigorously religious manner and are successful in doing so generation after generation, such as Orthodox Jews. Now there are more and more Muslims who do so. Amish community, they do so. Of course, they have allowance for sense gratification also in various ways. But they take the trouble to do so, and they think it's important to do so. And they train their children. This is how we should live. We are different. We should be different. We don't want to be like everyone else. And they're successful in doing so. So devotees can do also if they're prepared to take the trouble, if they actually have faith in what they're doing. Hare Krishna. So, on with the frivolity. Is it? Blowing the candles and all this kind of thing. There's a drama. Okay. Dramas are very good. Because if you say drama, then you're saying Rama. So even if you don't know, the name of Rama is there. If you want to start a business, make a Laundarama. Very good business. Laundarama.
Maharaj, I have a question.
You have a question?
Yes, Maharaj.
All right, so please ask it.
You opened a new the Gurukul in Gujarat. So how is it like the compared to now the modern society is going? So is it completely diverting on the spiritual education?
Is it completely diverting on the spiritual education? Right. The real thing is sense gratification, and spiritual education is a diversion. Yes, the whole aim is to train the children so that they do not have to take birth in this material world. Spiritual education. And something may be their little this, that, the other, but they're not being trained to be engineers, doctors, rickshaw drivers. You don't need much training to be a rickshaw driver. No, there are enough of that. They're being trained so that they don't have to take birth again. That's the training. How should we deal with our parents when they're not devotees? Respect them as is proper, as far as possible. You may not want to keep so much association with them. You have to see in each individual case. The general duty is to respect the parents. You may do so. Prahlad also spoke respectfully. He addressed his father as Asuravarya. That you are the best of the demons. So he spoke to him respectfully. Hiranyakashipu must have been very happy to be addressed as such. So at least formal respect may be there. But it puts the devotee in a difficult situation. But We have to be Krishna conscious and also not, Rupa Goswami says, not neglectful of the world. To train children to be free from sense gratification doesn't mean to stick them on top of a mountain somewhere. But to teach them how to live in this world and be Krishna conscious, despite all the attractions. And like I say, there are Muslims in this country who train their children to observe the difficult austerity every year of 1 month, just finished, of fasting all day without taking any water. Of course, they often eat more than they do. The three times they eat between sunset and sunrise, they often eat more than they do at other times of the year. But still, I mean, especially, much of the Islamic world is extremely, and if Ramadan's fallen in the hottest time of year in places like Saudi Arabia. So, well, they're doing so in America. And they train not to eat pork, and the Jews only halal food, and so there are certain restrictions which they train them to follow. So devotees should be able to do also. But you have to follow yourself. The fear that children may not listen to you. You have to do your duty. If the children don't listen, that's beyond your control. Srila Prabhupada, none of his children were very Krishna conscious. He did his best. What a father, but they didn't recognize. If they'd taken to Krishna consciousness, they would be widely honored all over the world. But they didn't. So you have to do your duty. And to discipline them also, that doesn't mean that you have to lash them black and blue. Not like that. Naturally, children means you have to treat them with love. Actually, the system is to send the boys to Gurukul, but that's not there. You have to set it up. You're asking about that Gurukul in Gujarat. That came about because the devotees, they thought, well, we don't want to raise our children in this society. They set it up themselves. They thought, we've got this knowledge of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has given us. We want to give that to our children, but they're not going to get it in the regular school system. So we have to, no one's there to teach, so okay, we'll do it ourselves. There is, from their own volition. They decide, I didn't order them, you go and start a Gurukul. They decided themselves. We have to do it. We may not be the most expert, but anyway, the books are there, we'll read it to them and live with it. So, and they're actually very happy. The devotee is also having given up their good jobs, prestigious jobs, and living very simply. And they're very happy. It's clearly visible in their faces. So.
And subsequent to that, Maharaj, like here, Gurukul is not possible as I am doing homeschooling for my kids.
Mm.
And we are trying to live with preach and embrace devotees, but nobody is interested to.
Well, you do what? Yeah, well, it's you do what you can. You can't dictate to others. That's all.
It gives more association when more people come. And that's all.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just speaking like this, and then some people they're interested and they take it up, and they can give the better benefit to their children by doing so. And I know, I say all these things, and most who listen will think, okay, that was a wonderful, thank you for the wonderful class, Maharaj. That's the standard line after every class. But someone may hear. We don't expect everyone. There are many options within the Krishna conscious movement. You can choose what you can have. You can choose, but you get a different result from different kinds of activities. If you follow strictly, or if you don't follow strictly, you're not going to get the same kind of result. This nonsense idea is there that, well, the guru just gives blessings and then you do whatever you like. You have to chant 16 rounds and follow 4 principles. And then the guru gives blessings. And then whatever else you do, it doesn't matter because the guru is giving blessings. But the guru's duty is to teach you how to get free from birth and death. There are teachings. There are principles to follow. They're supposed to be followed. It's not just by, okay, we got the absolute, what is the minimum I have to do to get Krishna Prem? If we're thinking like that, we will never, never, never get Krishna Prem. Even to think like that is offensive. I won't do anything. Guru will just give blessings. That's all. This is wrong understanding. So, I'm speaking like this. If anyone wants to take it up, they can. They will be benefited. If not, you can do whatever you like. I'm not going to come around your house with the gun and put it to your head and say you have to follow all this. It's up to you. Your teacher see Tata Kuru. You hear and then you think what you want to do. Then? Yeah.
I have a question about the... I know the Guru can make the people in the Krishna consciousness, okay?
The Guru can make people in Krishna consciousness. Well, partly. The Guru, his duty is to instruct and then it's up to people to follow.
Okay.
As they have to choose whether they want to follow or not. So it's not by force. One has to voluntarily submit. One has to become a disciple.
Okay, but in the Mahabharata, Dronacharya, who was the guru of Pandav and the guru also.
Yeah.
And he teaches both of them. Is Dronacharya was not Krishna consciousness?
Was Dronacharya in Krishna consciousness? He was the guru of both the Kauravas and the Pandavas. Yes, he was Krishna conscious, inasmuch as Krishna was there.
But
he was conscious.
Why
did Dronacharya take the part of the side of the Kauravas? Bad association. He was associated with them. He wasn't. Dronacharya is not accepted as an ideal Krishna conscious acharya. He was a Astra Shastra guru,
but
not Paramarthic guru.
But why the Pandav took the guru as the Dronacharya?
They took Dronacharya as their guru because he taught them Astra Shastra, how to use weapons.
But he was not there.
No, he wasn't. Therefore, Arjuna, he surrendered to Krishna as his guru for spiritual knowledge. Arjuna throughout his life had received, what Krishna taught to Arjuna was nothing new for Arjuna. He didn't learn anything that he hadn't learned before. Actually the guru of the Pandavas, their dharma guru, was Dhaumya, who was a Vaishnava. And they took him as his guru specifically because he was a Vaishnava. But ultimately, Arjuna had to be instructed by Krishna. So there may be many gurus. Drona, he was a guru for teaching weapons, how to use weapons. Bhishma is also great acharya, but he was on the wrong side. That was circumstantial. Also. That was circumstantial because he'd been in the bad association. And there's a deep understanding behind that Bhishma was actually a devotee of Krishna in Viraras. That means in fighting mode. Some devotees of Krishna, they like to fight with Krishna. but it's like a friendly fight, and that gives pleasure to Krishna also. So in Krishna Leela, we have to, often we can't just take it superficially. Just like Krishna bows down before Nanda and Yashoda. Does that mean anyone's superior to Krishna? In one sense, yes. But in rasa vichar, Nanda and Yashoda, Krishna takes them as his superiors. In tattva vichar, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are somewhat more subtle points. Drona is a great personality, no doubt. But he didn't instruct in spiritual knowledge. He was a guru, but there can be a guru in dance. Arjuna became a dancing guru. But there was dancing guru and sitar guru. First guru is the mother. But that doesn't mean that one should not take a spiritual guru. Yeah.
We send our sons to Gurukul. What about the daughters? And what type of training?
Daughters, they are trained at home. Sons in the Gurukul, daughters at home. That's the system.
Who was Kripacharya? What was his role as in the Pandavas as a guru?
Guru, he was respected as guru. Every Brahmin is a guru. He's also Brahmana by caste. Although he was, like Drona, acting as a Kshatriya. It's all quite complex, actually, because Kripa was also, he was one of the few survivors of the battle. And after the battle also, the Pandavas, they respected him as much as they did even before the battle. Even he assisted Ashwatthama in his, and Kritavarma also. Kritavarma and Kripa, they assisted Ashwatthama in his killing off the rest of the Pandava forces, including the sons of Draupadi. So it's all quite complex. Hare Krishna.